Go ahead, Mayor.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is Meadows Place City Council regular meeting, except it's not. This is Tuesday, March 24th, 2020, at 6:30 p.m. at Meadows Place City Hall. However, due to the fact that we're all putting up with COVID-19 distractions, we are doing this via teleconference for the public. We will allow, we will allow public comment for each item on the agenda. City Secretary will handle that. Item A on this agenda is call to order and announce the quorum is present. And since there is no public viewing except this, that the City Secretary would record who's here for the public, I'd like to appreciate that.
Oh, yes, we have Mayor Charles Jessup, Mayor Pro Tem Rick Stegley, Alderman Steve Besner, Alderman John Isbell, Alderman Kurt Kopchinski, and Alderman Kelly Mills.
Hello.
Unfortunately, it's just the best we can do with the sound system in the council chambers. The audio recording will be available online at the end of the meeting.
All right.
Okay.
I hope everybody heard that. How come she can?
They've unmuted themselves.
Please mute yourselves as we move ahead. And if everyone will rise to the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation, I'm going to ask Chief Stewart to lead us in the pledge and Alderman Kurt Kopchinski to lead us in the invocation.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please pray with me. God, we are grateful for life. We're grateful for today. God, we ask your hand and your blessing upon Meadows Place, upon its leaders, upon all residents, all people of this world right now. God, we ask that coronavirus just goes away. God, please heal those that have it and keep those safe who have been around those who have it. God, help guide us and lead us as we make decisions that affect this community. God, and guide all leaders around the entire world. God, that we make great choices and ones that honor you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Chief. We are moving on to item B, which is reports. And as per custom, Police Department Chief Gary Stewart is here to lead us in the reports. Chief, you got it?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council. As usual, we start out with our number of accidents per month. At this time, we have 8. Number of arrests were 7. Excuse me, let me back up to accidents because I know that Councilman Stegley does record this. We did have one roundabout accident. That was a DWI that we did file charges. We have already filed for insurance or filled out the claim report and submitted that to our city secretary. Number of arrests was 7. Calls for service was 2,165. Number of reports was 42. Citations issued were 250 with a traffic charge of 444. City works violation citations rated 0. We had 67 traffic warnings with 134 charges. Our warnings issued for city works violation were 5. Total to the count of 2805. Assaults were at 2. DAVs were 3. Burglary business 1. That just occurred. We had 0 residential burglaries. Business checks 362. 5 city ordinances, which are listed below. Post patrol 126. 1 criminal mischief. 0 frauds this month. House watches were at 212. Park security 96. Property checks 618. 0 robberies. School checks were 16. Tennis courts at 84 checks. Total property checks 1,152. Theft, we had 5. 1 unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. And you can see our TLC program, 35 passing, 12 failures, for a total of 47. The city ordinance warning breakdown issued were one for solicitors, one was a noise complaint, one was a loose dog, and two for junk and abandoned vehicles. And I'll continue on with the arrest, which I'm going to leave for you to review at a later time, mainly because we're going to have a lot of notes to cover this evening, and the significant arrest would interest you most of all. A couple of guns that we did take off balance with PCS, and which we gave a trip to the Fort Bend County Jail, and the one with the DWI that caused sick damage to city property. The others, as you can look through there, were other agency ones. The felon in possession firearm was on a defective traffic, it was on a traffic offense for defective equipment. We're not. Of course, we're still here to catch bad guys. I just want to let y'all know there's other indicators besides the traffic offense that made that stop come to life. I want to move in now to the additional notes and comments for me. The COVID-19 has resulted in the issuance of state, county, and city declarations of disaster. In addition, the county judge, Katie George, has issued further restrictions, and a copy of that is attached. The order has a direct impact on law enforcement.
I can't share this, do they?
I did want to note the law enforcement portion is on level, and every portion of the order is just attached, and you can read that, and it's available on the county side and hopefully in the mail hours. The order that specifically affects law enforcement is, of course, the mail enforcement portion. The order of the county judge has got where gatherings of more than 10 people. This authorizes and orders peace officers to enforce this provision to ensure compliance with the current CDC guidelines. The peace officer orders a group of 10 or more to disperse and they fail to comply. It is now punishable with a Class B misdemeanor with a fine for $1,000 and a term of confinement up to 180 days. PD protocols are in place.
Who made that statement in the press conference?
That was coming from our DA, Brian Middleton, at the direction of the order that's directly spelled out in the order from Judge Katie George.
And I wanted the chief to tell y'all that because it was it's kind of nice to see that they're actually working together a little bit in that.
Yes, sir.
And the district attorney, who many of you know was here for years, stood up and made it very clear that this was something that they meant and they expected. So if you hear about it at anywhere, that's what's going to happen.
Yes, sir. So of course, we don't want to put anybody in jail without charges on for this. That whole idea is like anything else, we want compliance. So as an officer comes up, and I just want y'all to realize that we're not going to looking for people that have 10 gathering and write a bunch of tickets or try to take people to jail. That's not what this is for. This is to gather compliance, garner compliance rather. And if we can't get compliance, maybe issue a citation for failure to debate direct order to a peace officer. If we don't get compliance after that, then yeah, they will be arrested and charged and will be fined. So the whole idea is just trying to keep this safety and make sure that people aren't gathering for a sake to spread the disease. With that, as our PD protocols come into place, it's in order to protect our first responders as much as possible. As you know, being in a small community with limited resources and officers, if we have a serious impact, it can affect our operations considerably. So along with the other ones that y'all heard that are recommendations by the CDC, hygiene is a big thing, hand washing and hand sanitizer are used constantly. We are also disinfecting the police department 2 times per shift. Every officer has vehicles, that's everything is touched, doorknobs, equipment, keyboards, phones, mics, everything. So we are making sure that we do everything to mitigate that. We do have PPEs issued for contact with suspected persons with COVID-19. We're reducing unnecessary contact with the public, specifically the reduction in traffic enforcement and self-initiated activity. In short, we're more reactive than proactive at this point to reduce contamination. Officers are required to disinfect, as I said, all the vehicles and workspace 2 times per shift. As y'all passed, which we appreciate the hazardous pay, is one of the things we have to consider is that our officers have to decontaminate prior to their duty every day. They have to come in and lock down every piece of equipment, their cars, their gear, and at the end of the shift, their regular day of putting up their equipment is changed. Now they have to decontaminate their uniforms, wash them, decontaminate their gear, and again, this is to mitigate any contamination. And we are following the guidelines that were afforded to us by CDC and FEMA guidelines so that we can use that for our time recapture if we can under the category B, because these are duties that are directly related to the disease itself. The burn rate on our supplies, such as gloves, PPEs, disinfectant, sanitizer, antibacterial soaps, masks, and all that, as you can imagine, is quite high. There's a shortfall and an inability to get or reacquire these items. So that's another reason that we're trying to limit contact. Now another directive that many people have been noticing is that PD will now stage an EMS calls for service and wait outside. And so that's what we're requested inside, which they have to gear up for. Excuse me, that means full body suits, the masks, the gloves, and everything. Before they're allowed to make contact. And so we're trying to limit that as much as possible because EMS there is to handle that. Arrests that are necessary will be in accordance with the new jail guidelines and the arrest procedures through the DA's office. As of the public distancing, as we make contact, officers are required to keep the suggested 6-foot social distance on all public interactions. When possible, it's not always possible. Dispatchers are asking new questions, required questions to ensure first responders' safety to possible COVID-19 service calls to make sure that we're not going to a place where somebody may be contaminated.
Excuse me, sir. That's the police chief giving his monthly report. We ask that everyone please mute their phones, and then the mayor will allow each person to speak at a public comment for the items.
But I just have one.
So as Alyssa explained, this is not all-inclusive as the protective protocols in place are subject to change in the ever-evolving pandemic, as everyone knows. Special events canceled due to coronavirus. We're not doing anything extra. Training suspended until further notice. Mayor and the police chief are on multiple calls every day, whether that be the Fort Bend EOC, the State Department of Health Services, our local Department of Health Services, state calls, and others are required. We'll be in County Sheriff's Office, where we were able to get some disinfectant, about 30 gallons worth. That station has been ordered shut down by the county judge. So you can no longer pick up the disinfectant. Now they're going to make it where it is possible for only law enforcement and those essential, such as fire and EMS. We have been in contact with the Empire Managed Solutions in an attempt to garner more PPE supplies. If they can fulfill orders, it's going to be at least 30 days. Excuse me. We also have contacted Chemicals and Custom Coatings and Paraland and placed an order for more hand sanitizer, and they're thinking that they'll have 5 gallons for us in about a week. As far as the call from 3 p.m., and I just kind of want to touch a couple things, they are trying to open up a first responders, and I haven't heard anything else on this yet. Isolation center, if they do come down or contaminated, so they can isolate away from their families. We do have 46 confirmed cases in Fort Bend County at this time. And as everyone knows at this point, since I attached it, we do have a third amendment to the judge's order, which is attached. And with that, I will conclude my regular report.
First of all, Chief, I want to tell you, as mayor, it gives me great comfort in having you as chief. And the professionalism you exhibit, the way you keep me informed and the information coming to me, I really, really appreciate that. It gives me a great deal of confidence when somebody comes and asks me what's going on, and I can at least tell them that we're involved. And so I appreciate that. Council, does anybody have any questions specifically for the chief, either on police matters or on COVID-19? John?
You have to go to a microphone.
There you go.
I have to come to my mic.
Is it on?
My mic on. Yeah, Chief, since we can't actually stop people or that we're reducing that.
We still can't hear you very good, John.
Hello? How's that? Okay. Since we're not really calling people over as much as possible, maybe park a vehicle somewhere, just so people see it as they're driving, either might slow me down when they see police officers or whether or not someone's in there. Can we do something like that?
Yes, we are doing that actually, but what we're doing is not so much for traffic or putting them in front of our businesses that may be closed, because again, we've had one business burglary. As businesses are closing, they're going to be more susceptible to that, as people are going to know, or at least the backups are going to know that out there. So yes, we do as much as we can. They're moving around throughout the city. A good point was brought up earlier by Council Spangley, going, I'm seeing all these extra cars here from different agencies. We are in Precinct 2. They have suspended all of their services as far as civil service papers being delivered and so forth. So you will see a Precinct 2 vehicle or two within the city, and they're also doing the same thing, staging in different places in the city.
Thank you.
It's your bonus.
Chief.
Sir.
Is there, in addition to the order that came down by the judge, is there any means that the community can provide for the police department?
Our question was by Councilman Besner that in addition to the having to follow the county judge's order, he's asking, is there anything that the community can provide that the police department might need or want that is not covered under any of this order?
Well, I'd like to say that we live in the great city of Venice. The police department is always supported by our community, and I can't tell you the outpouring. We had two different places deliver pizza today, and I mean, it's loaded with our guys. We had our pharmacy, the local pharmacy, come and deliver. They make handmade sanitizer for us so that we could have some additional hand sanitizer. And there are people are respecting that social distance to help us out, and everybody in the city has always come forward. At this time, we would say no, that we want them to just protect themselves and their families, and that we always appreciate what they do for us.
In the event of, you said if we, because we're a police force, it's so small, in the event that we lose, you know, some officers, we're in a world of hurt at that point. And is there some kind of interlocal agreement that we'll get some coverage, I assume, before then?
All right, there's a question in, out of the, and ladies and gentlemen, you got to realize we're all spread out by social distancing, and Alderman Besner is out in the audience without a mic available to him. He asked a question regarding staffing in the event that we have exposure to our police department that
what
would affect the number of officers we would have available.
I have to
Is there an interlocal agreement in place with other agencies that would help us cover, and vice versa, by the way?
Thank you for that, Mr. Barron, Councilman Besner. Yes, we do have that agreement in place. However, as a small department, I'm also trying to mitigate that by keeping unnecessary personnel usually on reserves. And this is right now to come help fill positions if we need to. If we have a contamination that will be inside the police department, which is why we've kind of isolated from everything else, the one thing that we're keeping decontaminated and ready to stand up is our emergency operations center. It's one we have not stood that up. Other agencies are not standing up theirs as well, besides the county, Sugar Land and a couple others. that as a if contingency. And so we are put those in place. And so we have the strict rules. That's one reason we have all the protocols that I've been having to write constantly and direct us to make sure that we mitigate that as much as possible.
And I assume you and Captain Jack are staying as far away from each other as possible.
I try to do that anyway.
All right, John?
Yeah.
Please step to the mic. I don't need to.
Well, I thought you were going to repeat.
No, I'm going to let you go.
And I saw a message from Harbor Freight Tools, the owner, that is observing certain things like their masks and gloves for medical and police departments and everything. I don't know how you go about getting them. Maybe call a local one to know, but
Harbor Freight.
They're not selling those to the public, they're reserving them for us.
And we have been going by there each day, and we've picked up some more spray bottles and some containers that we need. Supplies as they are getting in, they are in short supply there as well. But yes, we are reaching out to our businesses first, of course, because of the economic impact this is having on everyone, and trying to, as we order lunch and have to eat at our desk, to try to get it from our local restaurants.
Okay. All right. Well, Council, I want to say it's been interesting. Chief, thank you very much. And I don't know how to say how much of his day is taken up by COVID-19. It starts in the morning and ends, tonight after 7 o'clock. So anyway, Chief, we want to thank you so much, and we appreciate it. The referenced document that Chief made as far as the declaration by the county judge, the city secretary has that electronically, and we'll be shooting out that out to you later. With that, Chief, instead of going in the back and sitting down and staying here for the rest of the meeting, I'm going to ask you to get out.
I appreciate that, sir. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate anymore.
And if you would, ask Eric to come in and sit here so he can stage back there to let know when it's his turn.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, with that brings up item number 2. Code enforcement report. Jennifer Cabello, our code enforcement official, is going to give us a report. I think last time she'd been here one day, so now she's been here 3 months. Jennifer?
Good evening, Councilwoman. Glad to be here. I wanted to say thank you for all you're doing. Everyone here, we appreciate your efforts. So I want to go ahead and start off with my report. For this year, it's a little bit different from the fact that I am actually using 2 versions of the program we have concrete, version 1 and version 2. So you're going to see a little bit of a difference here in the recording. For the first quarter, have a total of 80 open cases, 121 closed cases, 179 total cases. In the new update, as of yet, we do not have the ability to distinguish the sub-issues or complaint-driven violations yet. I believe that Comcast's new version is evolving as we're asking for certain things. Some things they're trying to comply with and others they're just not able to. So you'll further see on the top violations that we have. Grass and weeds in excess of 9 inches is 53. Total violations. are hazardous conditions, meaning that they are 2 inches or more separation vertically or horizontally. We have 11 of those total violations. Working without necessary permits is 18. Any litter, trash, or junk on property, there have been 14 so far. As you can see on the right side of these violations, there's a compliance date or days that we have. They are the same as prior, with the exception of the ones that we know that are a little more costly. I'll talk with Mayor about that and see about maybe extending that a little bit, considering the situation that we're going through right now. Item number 4, file charges in this report. All but D, which is 12123 Meadow Hollow, are waiting for a to be set due to COVID-19. Number of weekend days worked this far for 6 days. Item number 6, swimming pools. We did have a very good turn on 12210 North. That home is being bought by someone and got cleaned up very well in the back. They have taken out the pool structure, and I believe they're working on filling it. They have filed permits for that as well. On 11, on Article B and C, you see that those two items have written a letter for inspection warrant, and we're waiting the availability of a judge to take a look at that and sign that for us.
Did you talk to the judge about this?
Further investigation pending. Item number eight, Rankin or Manor Homes.
She's going to meet up.
12027 Alston. This has no further information. I've been trying to find a way to contact them, but there's no information. On letter B, 11838 Wall Holland, the property owner has come into compliance. That was one of the ones that was longstanding. 12338 Sparcella, this home is actually in the process right now of being bought, and they're working on the items to get that closer and hopefully soon off or less.
Do we know where that stands? I mean, Jennifer, yes. Okay, bring me up to date real quick.
Yes, the gentleman that's purchasing it is trying to get a report on the land to see if the.
Most certainly.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Is looking for the survey and he's trying to get with his mortgage company and the prior owner's mortgage company to see if they can produce one. Without having to actually go out and tap on it for him. But if he cannot get that from the mortgage company or the title company, he's going to get the surveyor to go out there and do it for him.
Kurt, shed any light on that?
Yeah, I actually spoke with the buyer a few days ago and helped him with that issue. He is ordering a new survey. It's going to take probably a week, week and a half to get, as long as everyone's still able to get that work done. So he is in the process of fixing it up soon. I'll be working with him closely to make sure he gets good things to the house. So we're meeting next week over there.
All right, now what you just see is great communication. Wonderful. How long has this house been vacant, do you know?
I don't know.
3 years. I believe 3 years.
Which is the one on?
It almost backs up to the water well there. It's just one house over from the water well.
And I want council to know this. One of the things that Jennifer's doing right now that I don't see an opportunity to discuss is that she has been working with the Iron Water software program that we have and has just learned how to pull up the a report that gives zero water usage. And what that tells us is some of these houses were located by that, and if nobody's using any water, either we have a bad meter or there's nobody there, and we're tracking them down. And I'm really proud of this. And inside of 2 months, we'll have touched every house inside of here that's not using water, and we'll have corrected either the no meter or filed substandard on them for not, or at least start seeing how long it's been abandoned. Some of these things have been probably abandoned a while, but we think we've got a handle on all of them right now. I'm very encouraged by that, and Jennifer and I will be working on that on an ongoing basis. So congratulations on that. Go ahead.
The last item is the goal transport. These are ongoing, what I believe for you. Especially with what is going on here. I have to ensure and assure you guys that I have compassion for our residents. I understand. I was on Medicaid before because of.
Having a hard time hearing you.
I was a medic prior, some years back, so I got a pretty good understanding of what's going on. So I understand the situation before me. So just please be assured that I'm using compassion for our residents. That's fine.
All right. I've got one comment and then I'll turn it over to council. On the goals for next quarter, Jennifer. You and I are going to work, and instead of being consistent, detailed, we're going to put some numbers to several of these items, okay? So that you can see this is what we look like. And for this, for the first time, you got some numbers to track. So we'll put those over and see how they track and see how we do it and see if they're enough or not. You're finding out that you can swamp yourself, and right now you can overload court. So this will be a good opportunity to transition into putting some numbers to some of these items. So going forward, Rick can know whether we're doing a good job. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Anyone else want to address city council? I mean, address code enforcement.
First, thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for moving forward a lot of these things that have been sitting for a while. It's good to see progress. Under section 4, where it says file charges in municipal court, I see only the first two have violations listed.
Yeah.
Did those accidentally get taken off on this record? Or?
You mean why don't the rest of them?
Correct. No problem, just more curiosity and be great to have a next meeting if that should be.
Okay, am I hearing you right, Rick, Kurt, that you would like to see those on each one?
That would be helpful.
Okay, so next time make a note and we'll have them there.
Yeah, no problem. But very pleased with the report. Thank you very much.
I gotta tell you, this is much more difficult than it should have been. We're working with ComCate. And because, once again, as late as today, this afternoon, ComCate is going to be adding a fourth station to our report because of our request here from Meadows Place. And it'll make for a cleaner report, open, close, et cetera. So keep up the good work. Anybody else?
First of all, thanks, Jennifer, for what you're doing. I have noticed a lot of changes in the neighborhood. A lot of good things are happening out there. I appreciate that. Stay close on what we'll talk about over the weekend. I don't want to just drag it out right now, but I know you're looking at it. Okay, but thanks very much.
Okay. Jennifer, unless you just want to hang around this German festive room, you can leave.
Well, we need her to leave so USW can.
Oh, yeah,
in.
You got to get out.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate it. Now it's time for item three, the fire department report. I want to say we've met, well, the chief isn't here, but the chief and Chief Camillo, myself have met. We've had gone over things, and there's a lot going on around here. And I want to just say that I appreciate Chief T. Camillo working with our chief on working with our overall COVID-19 response. We had 26 EMS responses last reporting period, one structure fire, one vehicle fire, of two good intents and eight other fire related, for a total of 38 incidents in the last reporting period. 24 were during the weekday, and 27 were weekend day, 5 week night, 2 weekend night, for that same total of 38. We're always working. You've heard in the past couple of months, Eric Chance, Public Works, was talking about rehabbing our fire hydrants. We've raised some stacks, we've lowered stacks, we've tested them, we've painted them, and that's to make sure that we're confident when a fire truck pulls up that we can do. Council, we're also out here. Eric bought new clips of these, Kurt, and these are the blue buttons that go on there for fire hydrant alerting for the fire department, so they can see them coming up and know where their fire hydrants are. I think we had 19 so far that he's found that were either broken, damaged, or, you know, just knocked off. So we're replacing those, and we'll have those up to date. Are those finished yet on these? Have we finished?
No, not all of them.
Okay. Probably this week, next? Okay. So we'll be there. And that's, we've had fire marshal activity. Again, he's been over and worked with us. I met with John on some development issues. He was really helpful. And then he had inspections. John, who's the fire marshal?
John Lopez.
Lopez. I was thinking restaurant. John Lopez, who has done a great job for us. And then they came over and inspected Meadows Elementary's plan review, which is a huge deal. The Kids Zone, public education, we're also part of that. And unless y'all have a question, that wraps up the fire report. Okay, I'm going to move into mayor's comments. I'm going to talk city administrator selection. Council, I talked to the, first of all, let me say Nick Havey is going to be joining us on the 30th. That's still confirmed that he's coming. And I want to remind, in case anybody can hear out there, and I'm putting it on the record, Nick was a unanimous selection in the Meadows Place City Council. I believe his work ethic, the ability to communicate and collaborate with a wide range of experience, I think have made Nick stand out as a unanimous choice. This is a bold new move for City of Meadows Place, and I'm excited. It signals a new direction, and I can't believe that the day is finally coming. I'm going to put something in the newsletter about a little bit about what a city administrator does. There seems to be a lot of confusion with that. There's a lot of why are we doing this. I have no doubt in my heart that this is the right thing to do. I've thought about it. I believe it is absolutely the right thing to do, to get a professional to come in, put things together, work with staff, and lead us into the future. So I'm excited that for Nick to be here. He's got a lot of experience with some award-winning Texas municipalities, and we want to be an award-winning Texas municipality. Well, we've already won a couple, but we want more of them. So, Nick, if you're listening, I suspect you are, we're excited that you're going to be here. For the record, I'm going to give you this.
Yes, please.
And I want you to pardon the smear, okay? If anybody has any questions on the city administrator that's listening up, they can give me a call, and I'll be happy to talk to them. Okay.
Monday.
March 30, Monday. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm going to go, there's your desk and you can't come talk to me.
No, you're going to have to, here's your desk, find one at home.
It's going to be interesting. Talking about COVID-19, you heard the chief refer to it. We are now under a Fort Bend County shelter in place. There's reactions all over the place, and some companies are issuing essential personnel travel documents in case it should come to that. Today, we fell under that declaration.
Is it still recording, Rick?
By the county judge, which we'll link up and post it. This declaration makes it very clear what can and can't be open business-wise, who can and can't be out, what will be closed and what won't, what can open up. As far as Meadows Place is concerned, we're going to lose a couple businesses that are going to have to be declared non-essential and closed. Talking about the saddle shop and the chandelier shop. Everything else is going to be able to remain open. They won't be able to serve sit-down meals, but if they choose to stay open, they can. So from that perspective, we won't look a whole lot different. And I'm happy to hear about that. Item C, I want to talk about a city election. This is a big deal, and I'm telling you, I've spent more hours on the phone in the last few days over city elections than I ever wanted to. Last night, Fort Bend ISD Board of Trustees postponed their May 2nd election. I've spoken with and plotted and planned with several different mayors on how to do this, and I just didn't want to go to November 3rd. TML sent out a directive that states in reports from the legal director of the Office of Secretary of State that says we don't have any options other than November 3rd and May the 2nd. I did not want to declare November 3rd. However, the governor's proclamation only authorized a move to November 3rd, 2020. We either have it May 3rd or May 2nd or November 3rd. There is no authority for local political subdivision to move an election to any other day. And we can't not declare that. I had hoped to leave it open-ended in case we had a July date option. We could, if we had an emergency election under Section 4, which we're not going to have, and or go to court, which we're not going to do. Got this from the governor's office. Said make the decision as quickly as possible, and that means this week. And if you're under a shelter-in-place order, which we are, this has some significant impact on the elections. I'll let Courtney go into it and explain all she wants to. There's all kind of problems with it. But if your entity or your county is issued such an order, council says you need to move your election. Otherwise, you're putting your election at risk an election contest due to voters not being able to exercise their right to vote. They're just saying move them, period. And this is coming from the legal director, the election division, the Office of the Secretary of State. We'll be discussing this a little later. Now, if you have any questions right now, scribble them down and give them to Courtney before we get to that item. But I just want to know that this is a big deal. I've tried like crazy, and I've talked to mayors from one end of this county to the other, literally from Arcola out to Simonton, and everybody in between, and Sugarland, Rosenberg, and some others who are, and there's not many of us that are affected, but most of us wanted to keep our elections. we have to either do May 2nd. I would remind everybody when we get there that we may not have our city hall open to the public. So that's what we need to do. We'll talk about that more in a minute. U.S. Census 2020. I'm so mad I could spit nails. U.S. Census Bureau put down Stafford, Texas on our report. I immediately got mine. I called Congressman Olson's office, counsel. And I'm unable to get an answer of whether or not we will truly be affected by does it report as it is. I also went in and found out that I could, after submitting online, redo mine. And I got it canceled out the first one. They're only going to allow one count per address. And I got mine to say Meadows Place. I forgot to bring the papers up here, but I've got both of them. And so it can be done. If anybody asks you, if it's a paper form, instead of putting Stafford, just put Meadows Place. There is a way, and I've walked some through and they've been successful and others have not. I don't know the difference, but it can be changed. I'm still not convinced. I'll be bugging Congressman Olson's office later to see if somebody does put Stafford, whether we just lose it and what we can do about it.
So I put mine up and I could not figure out how to change it. I gave up.
Well, I'm a little more tech savvy than you.
Yeah, so. I think so. I gave up because I was curious on if it really mattered. And we don't know.
I can't give you an answer one way or another. I do know this as far as sales tax from the state of Texas. It's the address, not the city's. Okay, if it's a Texas business, if it's outside of Texas, that's still a gray area. So I don't know about this. I just don't know. Okay, so that's it. But there is some stuff going on. We are addressing it. And guys, if anybody has any suggestions, questions, comments, shoot them to me or come see me tomorrow and we'll sit down and figure it out. Figure out a better way to respond. Okay, this brings up to item 2, council comments. Kirkwood update construction by Alderman Rick Stegley.
We met with the contractor, landscape architect, or landscape company a couple weeks ago, trying to get them set up to come back to work as soon as CenterPoint finished their work. Thought we were on track. Now with this COVID thing, I don't know if CenterPoint is actually working out there or not. We can't get a hold of them. I'll continue to try to get CenterPoint's work finished so we can get our contractor back on track. I think most of you saw that the foundations that CenterPoint put in right behind the curb were busted out and taken out. They did. We actually met with them in the field and they realized their mistake and they did move those foundations at their cost. It is no additional cost to the city. Other than that, we're just kind of in a standstill. Construction is considered an essential item. So construction in Fort Bend County is currently still on a full go. TxDOT has actually told their contractors, take advantage of this with no traffic. They've lifted all the lane closure restrictions. And the contractors are going to be trying to get the TxDOT work done as fast as they can. The county is following suit.
Rick, what does that mean to us? As far as I know, they went out there and they yanked up some of those.
As of this time, I don't know if they put in the underground electric. And that's what we need CenterPoint to finish before we do the landscaping. If you don't want to go put all that landscaping in place, and then they run a trencher through it.
Right. I talked to Dominic today, so if we can't get a hold of that group, I don't mind asking him again.
Sure.
Let me know. Thank you so much, Rick. I know you can sit down and talk to those people at the end of the meeting. You know what they said? I'm so thankful for that. Thank you. Okay. That brings us to item D, regular agenda.
Eric, do you want to bring them in?
Hold on just a second. Let him come up, tell us what's going on, and then he can do that. This is discussion and consideration presentation from USW. Rick, you've got something to say to think to this, so I hope you will. Go ahead.
Mayor, Council, a couple months ago, you guys had asked me to into the needs of the wastewater treatment plant. And so through USW, working with USW hand in hand, and tonight we have a proposal by two individuals. Those two individuals, one is Ephraim Fuller with Embro Engineering, a civil engineer by trade, and then another woman by the name of Camille, I don't remember her last name, forgive me, with CPNY Engineering in regards to mechanical engineering.
It's Camille Stiles, and I'll give you the names, Courtney.
But tonight is, they'll be presenting their proposal in regards to the cost associated with moving forward with any major projects at the wastewater treatment plant, which we are dire need of. Unfortunately, everything out there is extremely expensive, and we all know that. But with that being said, I don't want to waste any more of your time, and we'll go get them. Mayor, did you have anything else for me, sir?
I think there's, and what are they getting ready to tell us today?
Basically, they're going to go through the entire process of this proposal, what they plan on, the data they plan on collecting, how they're going to use that data, and then how they're going to come up with the associated cost and a proposed time frame of, in phases, per se, of how this will all pan.
Okay, so they're going to come here today, and they're going to basically... well, we'll let them make the presentation. Okay. So, 2, 4, 6, 7.
Three. And you
can go away and send them in. Wait, wait out there, no. Just outside, if you would.
One quick note for those of you listening online, a recording will be put up later, and the audio will be much better than what you're hearing right now. It's through our actual audio system. So if you can't hear us now, what's being said will get posted, and that recording is going to be a lot easier to hear. So our apologies for that. We're doing what we can with what we've got.
Did we keep them in the dark? We could have turned on the light. We saved ourselves some electricity. Y'all come on up. Stay 6 feet apart. Everybody go like this. You can leave that open here. All right. Corey, I'm going to let you start this off. Introduce the team, and then I don't know. I think y'all worked out who's going to come up first and second and all that. Okay, unless I just messed it up.
First of all, being in council, I hope everyone's families are safe, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come out and introduce some of the folks that we work with closely at USW Utility Group. We've done work with CPNY down in Port O'Connor, and we also have a relationship with Embro, Ephraim over at Embro. These guys I've asked to assist USW Utility Group on the capital improvement project that was requested by the council in the December meeting. We do have our own staff engineer out in Florida. He is licensed in 3 states. However, with the expense of, you know, flight, hotel, bringing the locator over, would have added an additional cost that at this point would be unnecessary for the city of Meadows Place. So we reached out to Embro and CPNY to assist us in doing the capital improvement plan for the city of Meadows Place. So with that being said, I'll turn it over to Ephraim.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here. I will walk you through, next slide please.
Don't mind, you raise the mic up.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're going to have to lower it back down.
So good afternoon. My name is Ephraim Fuller. I work with Enbro Engineering. So I'll walk you through a little bit about our team, some project experience, and the project scope. Next slide, please. So a little bit about Enbro Engineering. So we're an electrical engineering firm headquartered out of Dallas, Texas, founded in back in 2006. We primarily specialize in electrical instrumentation, SCADA. We do also some construction management work, and primarily in the water wastewater industry. We also do some transportation, but as it applies here, primarily in the water wastewater industry. We have about 35 staff members between Dallas and Houston, and we are a Texas MBE firm. A little bit about myself. I did 20 years in the Navy Civil Engineer Corps, and so most of my background has been public works management, facilities management. I am a registered professional engineer. So my whole career has been, even though I'm electrical by degree, most of my career path has been on the civil side, working in construction management, construction contracting, public works management. And I will introduce Camille to talk a little bit about CPNY, and then I'll come back up and talk a little bit about civil.
Good evening.
My name is Camille Sobels, and I appreciate the opportunity to come out and talk with you this evening, and hope everybody's staying safe. CPNY has been in business for about 40 years. We've been in Houston a little over 20 in the Houston area. In company-wide, we're headquartered in Dallas. We have about 400 employees now. In Houston, we've got 25. Overall, our services, we were founded as a general civil water wastewater firm, but we've grown. We do water resources, transportation, environmental, just a wide variety of things. Our Houston office is primarily water, wastewater, and transportation. We have a small environmental component as well. So in Houston, I just put a couple of myself and a couple of the folks who would be helping us on with City of Meadows Place. So I have been in Houston for 22 years now. I've got 28 years of experience. I'm the Houston Water Practice Group Manager, so all of the water and wastewater projects that CPNY does in Houston fall under my area of responsibility. So I've had over that 20 years a wide range of water and wastewater projects of all shapes and sizes. Assisting me is Carlos Sriracha. He's got 20 years of experience. I think all of that has been in Houston. And then Tim Shu Zhang is a younger PE, but she's done a ton of work in treatment evaluation and helping us with cost estimates and cost analysis. She's a really sharp process person as well. So we have other people in the office, but that's just a quick overview of, you know, who would be leading our effort. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with me. The responsibility, the point of responsibility is me. I just wanted to point out some similar projects that we've done. We're working at three state parks in Texas. We're working at Caladero State Park, Garner State Park, and Peter Niles Falls. Pretty much all three of those started with condition assessments of the existing facilities. At Caladero, we designed a new water treatment plant, which will be starting construction. It just did in the last couple weeks. Construction will be starting soon. At Garner, we designed a new well and water plant improvements. At Peter Niles Falls, we're doing water and wastewater and helping them get rid of their septic systems at all of the different campgrounds. I don't know if you've been to any of the state parks, but we're getting rid of all their septics and putting in a central wastewater treatment plant there. As part of the Hurricane Harvey recovery effort, we've done condition assessments at 38 lift stations and prepared technical reports, recommendations, and cost estimates to help the city of Houston figure out what's getting prioritized, what they're going to go to FEMA for assistance with, what they have to cover themselves. And then we're also, our transportation group is expanding Independence Boulevard and connecting Packer Lane, which is not that far from here. And in doing that, they discovered the filler station in the way. So the water practice group got called in to assist with moving that lift station. So we've been working with the folks at WCID number 2 on getting that lift station moved, and we're in the middle of that design right now. So, I mean, I can speak to other projects, but I thought those were kind of relevant to the kind of work that you got going on. And I think that's pretty much all I have for you, unless you have questions for me.
Anybody? Nope.
Have you seen our facility?
Yes, we went out to the facility Fridays ago, 2-3 weeks ago, and I had Carlos with me, and also our structural engineer came as well, and we spent, I don't know, at least a couple hours out walking the facility, looking at everything, so yes.
And the clarion flags?
Besides the German bridge clarifier.
It works now. We put wheels on it. We found out what was wrong. I bet that fits right into the scope of the project, doesn't it?
So this is the project scope that that's in front of you. As Camille said, we've gone out, we've done an initial condition assessment and evaluation of the plant. We will take that information and further evaluate options that are available to you. And what we will do with that is we'll provide alternative solutions based on what you have out there, you know, trying to stay as close to what's there now, but also provide some alternatives and cost-based analysis to look at, okay, these are some options. This is the life cycle cost of these options. So you may see something that may have a higher upfront cost, but over the lifespan of that component, it's going to save you money in the long run. But we'll work with the staff, the operators, to make sure we hear your input to make sure we stay as close to what you're operating with now. Next phase, we'll take those project alternatives and also work with the staff to come up with some risk-based criteria to prioritize those projects. And the goal of that is to, we'll have the project write-ups, cost estimates, but also talk about the consequence of something failing and the likelihood of that failing, and that'll help establish a priority for that project. And at the end, we'll use your capital budget with, based on those projects that we prioritize, to look at how your budget is set up, and we'll put together a schedule of projects based on your budget, what you can do when, so you can see if you only have your capital budget as approved now, this is how long it's going to take you to work through all of these projects. Now, if we can find additional money, and the GLO is looking to get money to local municipalities and mud districts, I think it's about $2.2 billion for the area. And of course, you're going to be in competition with other municipalities and other mud districts. But based on, we've had some meetings with the GLO already, so you are a little ahead of the game with what's coming. So they will, you know, their scoring criteria, if there's something that reaches across boundaries, will usually score higher. But we do have some contacts with a firm that's working with GLO as a consultant with GLO that can help put these packages and applications together. So I think we're in a good place to get additional money based on these projects that we're going to come up with. Can't promise anything. As you know from past history, there is a competition for it. But if you are able to get additional money, so with this schedule that we provide for these projects, any additional funding will help move those projects to the left. And we'll summarize that, those findings, those project recommendations, and the technical memorandum. Any questions?
Sure.
Just curious, if this whole project, we're looking to restore what we have, per se, or are we looking at modernizing, maybe incrementally as we go, say, well, you can do this, you know, it'll last a lot longer, it might cost more, I think you mentioned that, but is that the whole focus, or are we just looking at fixing what we got?
The traveling bridge, clarify, is a perfect example. We talked about some options of replacing that traveling bridge with circular clarifiers, whether it's in the existing basins or looking to the area over to the left and building new basins there. But that's where the cost analysis will come in. We'll show you if you do, you know, if you just replace the components on the bridge now, this is your operating cost going forward or projected operating cost. If we do the circular basins inside the existing basins, this is the cost and potential issues going forward. If we build a new clarified basin, this is the cost and, you know, the pros and cons of doing each one. So the goal in talking to Corey is we're trying to restore as much as possible, but if there are cases where it's better to build something new or to modernize, we'll recommend that also. And then that'll be with conversations with, you know, your public works staff and your operators to make sure we're getting all the information that we can to make the right recommendations.
And I just want to piggyback on that real quickly.
I'm sorry, you can't do it from out there where nobody can hear you.
One thing, the louder the speaker is, the more feedback they get on the call. So maybe fade back from the mic a little bit. You need to be able to record, but don't overpower the sound.
Okay. So I just want to piggyback on what Ephraim just mentioned. We have already gone out and we've done the initial assessment. We've gone out taking photos of the current equipment that's at the facilities. We've also provided the drawings that are at the facilities of the facilities that were originally intact. And then from that, we also provided information as far as some of the equipment that's out there that's already been retrofitted for the operations of the facilities, because a lot of the equipment that's involved in the wastewater treatment plant is obsolete. You can't even find some of the sludge pumps that were there before. You had to retrofit those sludge pumps. Some of the hydraulics for the traveling bridges, all that's been retrofitted. So a lot of that equipment that's there is obsolete. So all that information has been shared and will be looked at during the CIP as well.
Steve, Rick, Kurt, any questions, comments?
Kelly?
All right, well, first of all, I want to say I've sat here and listened to presentations for a number of years now. I want to congratulate all three of you for coming forth and putting forth such a professional presentation and speaking to us. Council, what we're looking at is a proposal here, and we're not prepared to make a decision tonight, by the way. I know you're looking at me. But what they're looking at in your packets, and I'm assuming, oh, I have one, they put together the scope of work, all the project management, coordination, the condition and assessment, and what this is going to take and how it's going to be, and to put together a proposal for us to consider. And that's something that we're going to need to look at. I'll have some discussions with Eric to bring things out. But as y'all look forward through this, let me know. Come sit down and visit with me and Eric, and we'll compile some data, make sure we're getting all the questions everybody has answered. It's kind of an odd situation that we're faced with because of this COVID-19. We have some flexibility and the ability to talk with one another that we normally do not have, but we still have to be cognizant of the Open Meetings Act. So we'll try our best. We're also unsure what's going to happen. We just got put into a shelter in place here in Fort Bend County, and we'll be assessing this type of thing. And so, Corey, we will. You'll be our first point of contact as far as trying to give you some idea of what kind of a schedule we'll put together to get back to y'all. But we've got to talk with that. Rick, I'll expect you to kind of take the lead on this, if you would. And he deals with all this stuff all the time.
And both of our firms, we're sheltered in place, but we're still working. We're still fully operational and working at home.
Okay.
What's the process here? What's the next step?
process is to see if we want to spend $32,350 to get all the information that they already know. And then sit down and take a look at them and have them help us prioritize what we need to do in our plant by cost, by functional, and by how long it's going to last. You do project management.
Steve, we would have probably been considering this tonight.
I think you turned yours off.
It's on.
But with the COVID-19, there's a question of how it's going to impact the city's finances and we want to move forward right away. Or delay it until we know how long this is going to last.
That's a decision we'll be needing to make pretty quick. But it's not critical. Unless anybody has anything else, I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. Camille, appreciate you coming out. Ephraim, really appreciate you coming out. Corey, I'm sorry that we don't have any more specifics for you. Right now, we're just trying to see, because we're getting ready to get impacted budget-wise, tax-wise, and everything else-wise, and our costs are going up. So we're trying to figure out where we are and where y'all fit in that priority.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is there anything, maybe this is a Corey question, is there anything of emergency that needs to be addressed?
At facilities?
Yes.
Right now, we've gotten the traveling bridges, low traveling bridges back up and running. I believe the effluent traveling bridge, we're waiting on some coils to come in. And once those coils come in, that traveling bridge will also be running. And then we have one non-potable pump that is offline. But the clarifier traveling bridge that's been offline for several months, but a few months, it's now back online. It's running, so now our process is back where it needs to be. Because before, our process was kind of up and down. We're having to really do a lot of extra work to make sure that we can maintain those parameters that are going to be running.
But he's also, don't want to put words in your mouth, things that like electrical panels and lift pumps and lift station controls and things like that. If we got any that we know we're old, would you look at something and go, "Blue, it's an emergency"?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And what?
The belt press controls, the traveling bridges, the controls for the blowers. We've got. There's quite the lift pumps in the lift stations, the lift station controls. There's a lot of equipment that's out there that's just absolutely on the brink that we need to address as soon as possible.
I just worry about the next 3 months. We don't have water or sewer. We have
no. We've got multiple. We can make that happen, but it's just not where we want to be going forward.
Right, not only should we take it out of text, there's redundancy in the facility. So if we do lose a piece of equipment, there is backup, to make sure that we're up and operational. But the equipment that's there, it's dated and it definitely needs to be addressed as far as longevity of the city's facilities and assets.
Okay. Corey, this is kind of a sidetrack, but you mentioned redundancies. Do those get tested? The backup pumps, do those go online every once in a while to make sure they're working?
Absolutely. So not only do we cycle the pumps, but we try to stagger the pumps to make sure that they're cycling. But we monitor run times for the blowers to make sure that we cycle them after they run, typically about 24 hours to 48 hours, depending on the operations. But yes, we make sure that we alternate with the equipment to make sure that they're all getting the right time.
Okay. Thank you.
We've got a well-run facility. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll let y'all go. We got a bunch to cover. Again, thank you all so much and appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
Drive careful and wash your hands. All right, that's scratch item number one, moving to item number two. Discussion and consideration of resolution 2020-16. Extending the declaration of local disaster that was issued by the mayor on March 18th in response to COVID-19. As you recall, the first declaration is issued by the mayor. It can only last 7 days. That expires tomorrow. So we've got to address this. We're either under a declaration or not. The declaration is
April 28th.
2020-16 is for 1 month and takes it out to April 28th, which happens to coincide with our next council meeting in case we need to extend it again. So what I'm looking for is a motion to extend the declaration after April 28th.
Salute.
Motion by John.
Second.
Second by Kurt. Any further discussion? Hearing none, motion carries unanimous. Oh, aye or nay? Vote, aye or nay?
Aye.
Aye.
Mayor? Motion carries unanimously. Got a little bit ahead of myself. Sorry about that. Item number three, discussion and consideration on Ordinance 2020-10, canceling the May 2nd, 2020 election and postponing the general election to November 3rd, 2020. We're either going to have an election or not in May. I don't see how. There's a lot of complications to it. Courtney's been on the horn a lot. Would you like to share anything that they're saying for regarding that?
Well, the county is saying that they will, if we choose to stay with May, they will run our election. But polling locations and election workers could be an issue. Several polling locations are no longer available as a polling location. With the declaration we just passed, if we do stay till April 28th, we will not be an early voting polling location. A lot of cities have already decided to postpone.
And more are deciding tonight?
Yes.
And Thursday and next week?
Right. And the governor says we have to make our decision this week.
This week.
So we need to decide. Not knowing how COVID-19 is going to go, I say better safe.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't see how we can sit down here in this council chambers decked out in gloves and chair that we don't want other people touching.
I hate to do it.
And then say, come on in and kill yourself. So I'm looking for a recommendation to move the below.
We have a motion by Isabel.
I have a motion by John.
Second.
Second by Kurt.
Mayor, I'm going to abstain from this vote.
You're going to abstain?
I'm sorry.
It's okay for you to have a vote. You're put in here to vote on stuff.
But I don't want to vote on this.
All right. We have... Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they have. They've said move.
And that came from who?
That came from
the Secretary of State's office.
The legal director of the Elections Division. Yes. Office of the Texas Secretary of State. In the Rudder Building. For those who know who Rudder is.
I think yes. You probably could.
So yes. With Fort Bend ISD doing it, that kind of shuts down this side of the...
Oh, that's the other thing. Fort Bend ISD did vote to postpone. So if we keep a May election, we are looking at $12,000 plus for our election.
No, thank you.
So that's another
thing. Yeah, we're going to have to bear the whole cost.
Yes.
Okay, so if we do what?
If we stay in May, we'll have to pay the full cost. It'll be a minimum of $12,000.
Or maybe more. It depends on how many polling places, et cetera.
Yeah, that's why I said minimum.
We're trying to do our part to minimize the spread of virus. I think pulling people into our city hall is not doing that. So we have a motion. We have a second.
Mayor, you indicated we were going to give public the option to speak on items.
Yes.
Yep. I'm going to sit down there and go. Any discussion? Rick, you got anything to say at this point?
I'd say we get any comments.
We'll get, you want to get them now?
Yeah, I think you need to get them now.
I was going to get comments from council and then let the audience come in. Okay. City Secretary, do your magic, see if you can get us a comment.
Is there anybody on the line that would like to comment on item 3, postponing the election to November 3rd?
Yes, I'd like to comment.
Can you please state your name and address?
This is Mike Messer at 11842 Mulholland.
Is that 11842 Mulholland?
Steve knows what it is.
Oh, okay. We'll ask him.
Please go ahead, Mr. Besner.
Now, why are you waiting for November? What else don't you have in July?
According to state law, the city's general election cannot be held any other time than a uniform election. So uniform election dates are only in May and November.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mike. We don't have the option at this point.
No, sir, we're not allowed to. Per the governor's order, it does not open up the filing dates or anything. Everything stays the same.
And he brings up a good point, and I want to tell you, Mike, I've been on this same conversation with so many people, and I'm one of those that was pushing for July 12th. As a matter of fact, I drafted a letter to send to the governor and lieutenant governor asking if we couldn't piggyback on the July 12th or 14th date, because I felt like that was just a natural. And we were told that we have one option, or two options, May 2nd or November 3rd, and that's it. And we can't change anything. Great question.
Go forward, be held down that stone the same day as the river will be held in our house.
What?
Could you repeat that, please?
Hello, you know, let a school board be holding their election on the same day that we'll be holding ours.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to comment? All right, being none, I'll let the mayor call for a vote.
Rick, any further discussion? Okay. Motion by John, second by Kurt. All in favor?
Aye.
And
one abstain? Any nays? All right, motion carries. Steve Besner abstaining.
Sorry, I had to mute everybody and then unmute.
You are unmuted.
Okay, well, we're going to be voting in November.
So now we're on to item 4.
Item 4, discussion and consideration of ordinance 2020-11, amending subsection 150.25K of chapter 150 of the Code of Ordinance concerning installation of solar energy devices, providing penalties, repeal and providing effective date. Council, we had a very well-written ordinance. And it said in there, it can't be facing the front. And what we've done is just taken that section out, left everything else in place. And so if you want to put solar panels up, you can put them up. That's not what Kurt reads either, but that's what I was told.
Solar energy devices shall not be permitted on a street-facing roof slope or yard unless the applicant demonstrates that other locations will result in a significant 10% or more.
Is that the latest one? I thought we had one come in that said we just took that out.
I thought this was the latest one.
I was excited to speak on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I read that on there.
So where are you reading that, Rick? Kurt?
It's section 2, K3.
Well, the one I had
on street facing. I think that's what you have, Mayor, it's in 3. That's what you have. So it's my understanding from legal that the city, they felt was still in favor if we could have them where they're not visible, to keep them visible, unless the resident shows that they would not be beneficial.
No, I told them to change that.
Well, they didn't send us anything.
All right, well, let's amend this right here.
So removing that clause.
So you just want to say they shall be permitted on street facing?
They shall be permitted on
it doesn't,
roof slope.
Yeah. That's the way
that's
it was.
The old one.
Uh-huh. But the new one doesn't exactly say that.
So you could just remove three altogether. I think you could just remove three altogether and just have, prior to installation, they have to pull a permit.
Just go back to P&Z.
This does not go to P&Z because it's not under our planning and zoning part of the ordinance.
It's under building code.
It's under building code.
So we can do it.
Right.
So, in my discussion with him, we just eliminated this section. So it'd be my recommendation to council to remove section.
Or else you just want to say solar energy devices shall be permitted on roof, slope, or yard. I mean, you could just remove three altogether.
Yard. That I don't like yard because I don't want anyone to put it there.
So then you need to say solar energy devices shall only be permitted on roof slopes.
Correct.
On roof slopes and not facing the street.
All right, so.
I want to see a bunch of solar.
So, Kurt, do you want to make the motion with your language?
Yes, I want the motion for solar energy devices shall be permitted on any roof slope.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion for 2020-11 with the as changed reading, solar energy devices shall be permitted on any roof slope. Okay, we have a motion and we have a second. It's time for discussion.
Me
no discussion by council.
I don't like it. We sat here for a long time to discuss the positives and negatives of putting solar panels out and having them on the street with a variety of different installation techniques. And personally, I don't want to see a bunch of ugly looking solar crap on the street. It's going to ruin what we've tried to do in the city as far as keeping the city nice. My opinion.
Okay. And that's the opposing view. So now let's get see if anyone in the audience has a view.
Does anybody in the audience want to speak on item 4, the ordinance for solar panels? All right. Seeing nobody wanted to speak.
You are muted.
Sorry, I have to do this every time.
You are unmuted.
I have a suggestion. You know, they put their solar, if their house is so situated where they can put them in the backyard so they're not seen from the street, they're for that. Personally, I couldn't put them on my roof because my only slope faces out, but I really don't want the stuff. But I would never buy solar anyway. No more of that stuff.
Right.
Recently installed facing the street. I don't know what the story is on that one. It's on the main drags, right on the way.
I talked with BBG about that. They said they reviewed the ordinance. It had something to do with it being a corner lot. I'm not really sure. But we have had several requests for the solar panels. We did have somebody apply for a variance, but were instructed by our legal counsel that you cannot get a variance for solar panels because that does not fall under the zoning ordinance. They would have to file for an appeal to city council.
And solar in Bel Air is allowed facing the street.
They changed theirs.
Correct.
And what's driving it is just that, Steve. We've had people asking.
So this ordinance would allow people to put solar panels anywhere?
Yes.
On their roof.
On their roof. Everybody, do we know what sugar is in this?
Don't know.
No.
I know there's certain neighborhoods you can see the panels right in front of you, and Imperial's one of them. They have a lot of solar panels there, and I know I can see them when I'm driving. I don't know if it's necessarily street-facing or side, and I just see them. But they're pretty prevalent in a lot of the new communities that are being built, and a lot of people want them. I would love to put it on our new house as well.
Getting ready to call for a vote. And I'm going to sit down there, and John, I was part of that, and I was heated in part of that discussion. I have acquiesced in a bit because I've had people ask me, can I put solar panels up, and why not? And I said, because we don't allow it. Well, I want to put them, and if they can and they put them on the back, that's great, but we've got people that want them. And I will say this, typically, they tend to be younger folk, okay? I'm not a big solar panel in the front, but since we first talked about it, John, technology has changed a whole lot, and they don't look as big, remember, bulky, cumbersome with the aluminum frames. Those days are gone, thank goodness.
Yeah, so that's not kind of, should we do this with some restrictions?
Well, such as?
We can still regulate if they're allowed or not allowed and where they're allowed. We just can't regulate what kind they use.
Yeah. And, you know, and when we were talking about this, that's when the shingles were coming out, too. Supposedly solar shingles that look just like a shingle. But, you know, that blew up.
Yeah, that guy came in here. He didn't know. We're about 14 years ahead of that guy. He was lost. All right, so we've got a motion.
And a second.
Just one more note, and one reason why I'm more passionate about this, A, I want panels, but I think the new house, they would go in the back anyway. The house I'm in currently, I couldn't install panels in my backyard. I've got a huge oak tree overlooking the whole back, so if I want them, I can't even have them without cutting down a, you know, beautiful tree that we love. And that's the same for, I know, two other families, same kind of thing. They want panels, but they would have to be on the side and the front in order to make sense because of trees in the backyard.
Question is that would it deteriorate home values? I'm of the, and John, this is where I'll just tell you right now, I don't think it does. I think in many instances it might actually enhance property values. I'm not an expert. Well, it does. It also depends on. Yeah.
They're a staple in progressive and high-end neighborhoods to see the panels. So absolutely, they help with values.
Okay. So I'm calling for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
The libertarian in me has to say aye.
Three ayes. Kelly? No. John, no. Okay. Vote carries 3-2. And I don't get a vote on this one, and it's probably a good thing. Okay, I'm moving on. Guys, this is going to be, that was exciting. Number five. Item number five is going to be exciting. Discussion and consideration of resolution 2020-17, amending the city employee policy manual, adding a new section,
7C
firearms. Let me flip over, I had some notes. Council, the reason this was brought up, we've had two staff members have asked this to be addressed. They're concerned somebody's carrying, especially concealed, and if they're working with or being the staff advisor in front of kids. So that's one of the reasons they've addressed it. So council needs to address this and either add this in or not. Now I'm leaving it up. This is resolution 2020-17, adding the new section of firearms, stating the
it would prohibit.
Stating the would prohibit license. Well, where's my section? Except as provided by this section, employees may not possess, store, or transport any firearm on premises owned or leased by the city, or in a vehicle owned or leased by the city, unless the employee is required to possess, store, or transport firearm in official discharge of its duties. Do I have a motion? I wish I had a cricket sound. Hearing once, going twice. Sold. No motion.
Well, we didn't allow public comment.
Oh, well, there's no motion.
No, that's true.
We're going to try that again the third time.
I think we probably.
No, it will. The last time there was, we weren't able to explain. Council didn't allow us to explain the reason for bringing it to council. So now it will not come back before council.
Okay, discussion and consideration regarding the policy for administrative staff to work remotely.
That was something I passed out to y'all when you got here. Last week I gave council a plan for staff to work with a skeleton crew. This plan is to work remotely. They can only work remotely if we are given laptops. If they do not have laptops, they cannot work remotely. I don't have my copy.
Which we have addressed, have we not?
They are on order, yes. That's okay. I have it right here on the computer. But we have ordered laptops per council's direction last Friday.
When are they going to arrive?
Starting,
I think at the earliest we could have some maybe this Friday, but then they still have to be set up by Wright Technologies.
Now we're going to get, they're not coming all at once. It'll be three, four, and three, a trickle two. At least that's where it looks right now.
Right.
I will say this, we jumped on it, we had it up, we were trying to order. And before we could place an order, they were disappearing so fast we couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And there was one that was an order of 145. And we said, well, these work, and he's running through the specs, and then there weren't. So we're not the only ones dealing with this issue. Council, we've gone through this a lot. There's a lot of things that I believe that we've done. We have the ability to spread our staff out. To keep with the social distancing. We have the ability to have people here just in case to make sure that the city functions. I think we've laid it out. Staff is ready to do to come in and do whatever they need to do. We don't know how it's going to be. I don't want everybody all exposed. I don't want an office full of people, nor do y'all. Basically, we're looking for a way to get this done, to have them plan to work on remotely, just not at this point, 24-hour basis. And I talked to Nick Havey, and he's going to come in. This will be one of the things we'll be talking about. He's got some experience, and they're doing that, working with it down at Kima. So that's not unfamiliar. Courtney, I'm going to punt right now and ask you to take the lead. You've done most of the work on this.
Okay.
So if you would explain to staff how you've talked to, and she's interviewed each one of the employees.
Yes, I met with each employee, each department head outside of police department, and we've gone through their daily duties and have put on here what could be done remotely, what cannot be done remotely. I've given you all a copy. Basically, majority, what I could not do remotely is just reviewing timesheets, reviewing payables, and sign checks. Pretty much everything else I can do remotely. If staff has laptops, all staff will be able to check and respond to emails, check and respond to voicemails. Everybody's voicemail from their desk phone goes to their email. So even though we would not be able to be answering calls, we could still receive the voicemails and call people back. Court has very few duties that they'll be able to do remotely. They will still be able to download citations, post credit card payments, because that comes through email, and run the monthly OCA report. But things that we have to do, printing citations, reviewing dockets, preparing dockets, cannot be remotely. But we have postponed all courts through April, and we did get another notification from the state today to postpone everything through May 1st, which we were already have done that. We've already sent out notices. So there really isn't a lot that they would need to print right now, citation-wise. As Chief stated earlier, they have kind of cut back on, and they're doing necessity ticket writing and stuff right now. The utility clerk, she could daily post online payments that come in three different ways. She could still issue work orders from residents who call in and complain of a leak or needing to start service or disconnect service. We could still issue work orders remotely and process connects and disconnects. Again, that would require all paperwork coming via email. The permit clerk, majority of her stuff already comes via email, so she could still issue permits, schedule inspections, because that's done through an online process. BBG is still doing inspections, but they are asking that they will not do any inside occupied home at this time. So that's
basically... Say that again?
They will not perform inspections inside occupied home. They're limiting their staff's exposure.
Gotcha.
Code enforcement, besides answering emails and voicemails, she can't really work remotely.
Can I go back to permit?
Yes.
So BBG is not going in occupied homes. So what does that mean for people in the middle of a project?
I'm going to have to get with BBG to get more information on this.
Okay.
I don't know. They just said that they're not doing inside occupied homes at this time.
Okay.
Yes.
I know there's several families under construction right now.
Right. And so far they haven't turned down any inspection requests we've asked for.
Okay.
They've done everything that we've asked for
through
today. And then we go into the Parks Department. Park Superintendent, which is Lee. Again, parks, the main things they can't do remotely is take care of the animals at the Nature Center Discovery Center, as well as maintain the pool and check on the parks facilities. But again, parks would have two essential staff, so even if we were working remotely, the two essential staff members would still come in, take care of animals, take care of the facilities. That would be Colleen and Lee. All of her other staff would be non-essential. So yeah, somebody would still have to come in and empty trash of the parks. It would be her essential staff. And that we have talked about closing the bathrooms so that we're not having to deal with maintaining that during this time. But no decision's been made on that.
And the playgrounds.
Well, the court order states playground equipment is closed. The recreation coordinator, which is Monica, her main duties are planning events and main supervising the summer staff. So they're not really working right now. All events are canceled. But again, Park said if she had a laptop, she could be planning for the future events. And then we have her field staff that everything they do is outside. So checking landscaping, doing the trash, checking the bathrooms, checking the trails, organizing the field house and the park shop, daily cleaning of Helfman Park. We have a part-time staff who works at the Discovery Center. She just is there working the entry and helping take care of animals. But again, essential staff could do that.
How many hours a week does she put in?
She puts in about 10 hours a week. And then Public Works, of course, we have Eric, who's essential, and then his two field staff. We contract with USW, so they're still maintaining our water, wastewater treatment. If we decided to have non-essential staff here, that would still be taken care of. USW is still essential and still maintain all of that. The only thing, his staff, everything they do is outside, except for he does have one field staff that does the monthly reads of the water meters for billing. So he would have to come into the office to do that, but that's one day out of the month.
I have a question on your duties, actually. Are our timesheets, are they not digital? Are they paper?
Our timesheets are not digital. They're paper.
Okay.
That's an additional module we have to buy from Encode to do digital timesheets.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could do the same to me, but the thing is, all of staff has to turn them into their supervisor. Yeah. So, but again, if department heads could complete the timesheets for their staff, especially if staff are home working remotely and we're paying just their 40 hours, we can complete those timesheets. Staff does not have to come in to do those timesheets. We could complete those for them and send them through email. So we could do that.
Okay.
We could do that remotely.
Good deal. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Just curious.
Yes, we could.
I'm going to have a hard time with closing the restrooms. I mean, I understand staff not wanting to necessarily clean them in this. But if we've got people that are just trying to get their stir-crazy kids out, they're out doing the bear walk, and it's four blocks to get home, that's going to be tough. So, at all possible, I'd like us to see the restroom stay open.
As someone who goes on two walks a day, I agree. if the staff are okay doing it, if they're not...
Well, I mean, that just depends on council. I mean...
No, that's what I talked to Colleen tonight. I said, this is going to be something the council's going to kick out and mull over. I'm going to keep the bathrooms guy open, but I don't have a vote. And I can generally make it to my house from the park. But if you lived up off of Kangaroo Court, it'd be a little tougher.
Right.
It's gonna require adapting. And one of the problems we have, Rick, is staff going into the bathrooms in a potentially virus-covered environment. With no protection.
Could we get a service to clean them? Because that way,
I mean, we'd have to go out and
find them.
We got people that clean these bathrooms every day here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We would have to reach out to a vendor and ask if they're willing to clean our public bathrooms.
Shall we add three?
That would be my proposal. Is let's see if our current vendor for the building would pick up the bathrooms. Do a contract amendment in a hurry for that.
Sure.
I mean, we could even authorize the mayor and city secretary to negotiate that on this item.
That way we can move it in a hurry.
Give me that question.
Yeah.
If we close this building or if this building is closed, are we only going to do remote duties? Is that what we're saying?
That's not what I'm saying.
So, council asked me to put together a plan to basically close this down and have all staff work remotely.
That's right.
So this is my presentation of what could be done remotely and what cannot be done remotely.
So with this building closed, so the answer to my question is basically yes.
Could be.
If we say that when this building closes, if and when it closes, then we're only going to do the things on a remote duty list.
Yes. And if for some reason it came to the point that council would say non-essential staff shelters at home, then everything under a non-essential employee basically would not get done.
Yeah, I like this one. And that means we're just gonna have to live with it.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think this is a learning opportunity, like John's point, that like timesheets can be done remotely, but not in time to put together a process right now.
Right.
Okay. I mean, we can get that very quickly. Especially right now with staff working these alternate shifts, it's very easy to get these timesheets.
We said, last Friday we said, put together a plan in the event that this building closes.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that the public works guy, I don't know if it does or not, if we have people come in for an hour or two a day, don't come into the building and you can do whatever duties.
Same thing with outside park staff. They don't need to come in here. They don't need to come in the park in the in this building.
I didn't see that.
And the shelter in place calls for municipalities and other governmental agencies to stay open and provide services.
Yes.
If it gets worse and the pandemic numbers come in, as some people say, then we'll be in a lockdown situation where we just shut the dang doors. And that's where all of this comes into.
Yeah, of course, not only that, but it's also home test positive.
Absolutely. Yeah. If we shut down because of contamination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if one of us is the coronavirus in the next 10 days, this place is shut down.
Yeah, I'm just, we're talking about the coronavirus. To put it in perspective, Meadows Place has a population of roughly 5,000. If the mortality rate is truly 1%, and you say the entire population is going to get it, that means 50 Meadows Place residents are going to die between now and October. In the Houston region, that's 60,000, 70,000. Now that assumes everybody gets it and the mortality rate is correct. That's still all in fluctuation at this point in time.
Absolutely. However, the numbers are coming in from different sources, and as Dr. Witt, what's your name?
Mentor
said, they're now choosing to use the logistics or the numbers from some particular set of algorithms that says if we do what they're doing today by telling us to shelter in place, the death rate in Texas will drop from 400,000 to 5,000. Now, I think that's a little bit extreme, but there's other algorithms out there that show higher on the low end and significantly lower on the upper end, and they don't know who to believe either. That's the problem. So if the experts don't know who to believe, what are we supposed to do?
So I'll move to approve this policy with the amendment that the city secretary and mayor reach out and negotiate with our bathroom vendor or maintenance vendor to clean those other two bathrooms.
Okay.
Okay, we've had a motion with a change. Second by John. Any further discussion?
Hold on.
What if they don't? I guess we just want
to. I'm sorry, what if they what?
No, I'm just thinking out loud. Like, if they don't, if they may not be interested.
Somebody will.
So if not them, others,
reach out to others.
Or until we get somebody, parks group,
And just to clarify, staff is going to continue working on the skeleton schedule that was approved on Friday for now.
Okay, let's
see. So that's alternating work days twice a week.
So let's see if we have anybody in the audience that would like to make a comment.
Is there anybody on the line that would like to make public comment on this item?
What was the item again, please?
This is setting a policy for staff to work remotely in the event we have to shut City Hall down and not allow staff to report to work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there any other comments? Thank you.
Okay, we've had a motion, had a second.
You are muted.
All in favor?
You are unmuted.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. All right, that moves us on, I believe, to the budget amendment, which is ordinance number 2020-12, budget amendment laptops to in line item 100-020-533-009 to extend it to an additional amount not to exceed $30,000. That'll just barely cover what we just ordered.
Right, that's to cover the purchase of the laptops, docking stations, and any licensing fees we have to pay for software.
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, I think we were only doing one, and they just work directly from the laptops at home. Yeah, because then we don't want to leave docking stations at people's houses.
Motion by Steve.
Second.
Second by Kurt. Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience?
Aye.
Aye.
Is there anybody that would like to make comment on this item? Nope.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
You are muted.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
You are unmuted.
All right. I'm thrilled. Okay, this is item number eight. Seven. Discussion and consideration.
You just did seven. We're on number eight.
Discussion and consideration to set a date to meet with the new city administrator, which is pretty much a moot point. I am going to get him in here. We're going to talk about doing something with video and introduce him via that way. Okay, so had a motion to table.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hearing any opposed? No. Motion carries unanimously. Discussion and possible action on regarding live stream of city council meetings. I'm going to sit down there and say this has been a very interesting thing. I threw my hands up at it once before and nobody was there to catch it. I threw it up again and Kirk caught it and ran with it. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We've had council a couple of options. Now we're down to this proposal. And Kurt, I'm going to ask you to tell council what we're faced with, and there's an option and what that means.
Perfect. So first, at last meeting, to remind you guys, we had two different companies submit a proposal. After that meeting, Warren has declined to move forward and recommended we actually use this company. So I was affirming to hear. So this company is called Swagit. You recall they're the ones that do pretty much all of city council live streamings across Texas, or at least many, many of the major cities.
And this is all they do?
Correct. Correct. This is their bread and butter. This proposal, we made a few changes to, and they look equal because he forgot to put one extra thing on the one that's more expensive. I'll get there. So hold that question for just a moment. This includes the camera, the installation of the camera, the encoder. So they're gonna have some sort of equipment here. Back behind, or at the back of the council chambers, other hardware installation, network setup, etc. So that all is included, plus, and this is something we added after I spoke with a few folks on staff, 4 years worth of support and maintenance. And if you recall, this is something from the franchise fee, so this is not, well, Mayor, do you want to?
Peg fee.
Peg, okay.
Something in education.
So, okay.
Public education.
Public education.
So this is not from the general fund.
Correct.
So not coming from general fund for this. So again, 4 years of maintenance and support. We also added in Zoom integration. So a lot of you are having meetings via Zoom. This would allow
this that meeting service. Tonight is teleconference through Zoom.
Zoom meeting teleconference, not a Zoom lens.
Correct. And so this would, a one-time fee of $360 would allow integration of Zoom into live streaming. I don't know how that all, how they would, that would play out, but they've been doing it often. So the difference between the one for 25 and the one for 34, 25,224 and 34,824 is one of them. The more expensive one has something called Sound Search. To where it provides an unofficial transcript, so it essentially transcribes the meeting for you, and it allows you to search based on keyword within that. So again, unofficial transcript, but it adds that in if we needed to transcribe the entire meeting. It would save some time on our city secretary's side, as she does not have to type everything up. It'll all type on its own, and there may be some going back and correcting, but you know, for the most part, it's worked pretty well. And again, this service, they will hit the start and stop button for us. We are not getting the Cadillac package that has five cameras and they, you know, go in between, and I don't believe we need that. It's going to be a camera that gets this whole area, so from Kelly over to the podium on this side. Again, they handle everything.
So Steve would be under the radar right now.
Correct. Steve's hiding. I'll FaceTime the whole time with him. So those are the proposals. Again, they're for 4 years. So if the price looks like it jumped a lot, it's because of that. It includes storage, maintenance, you name it, for the 4 full years.
Is this paid out over the 4 years?
No.
It's paid up front?
It would be up front, correct. And I did speak with the representative regarding installations. I asked if they were still doing installations, and he said yes, at this point they are, and it's 30 to 45 days out from if we were to approve. So it would, if we approved, it would not be for next month's council meeting, but it could be for the month after, hopefully, as long as they're able to get down here and do the work.
Airplane tickets are cheap right now. Kurt, let me ask you this. On the difference between the two proposals, I've got one here for $34,824 and one for $25,224. The $34,824 comes from this bottom part.
Correct. He didn't include it in there, but it's supposed to say Sound Search on that, in that bottom box, the one of the more expensive one, and that's what I was talking about. It provides the unofficial transcript and keyword search for it's.
Yeah. Can we add that later if we chose to?
I believe so. Yes.
Do you have a recommendation on which proposal?
Not necessarily. I think We just have to see how important that is to have an unofficial transcript. I don't know if that is important or would.
Well, we don't do verbatim minutes, but it would be helpful, since we are a municipal court of record, if we had to transcribe a trial.
And it's an extra.
That's where I see it would be helpful.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm recommending council that we move with the one with the Sound Search on it, because we do have to come back.
$200 a month additional for that service.
Gotcha.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'll have them correct it for sure.
Okay.
For
sure. So,
and also realize we're talking about recording the whole meeting. We've been going at it now for, what, 2.5 hours? And it's recording in real time. So listening to this is going to take a lot of your time. So, you know, get a little bit.
But that's
well, I do my minutes as we're here in the meeting. I mean, I'm taking my notes.
But
yeah, yeah.
I think where it'll come in handy, and we have had to go back and search minutes. And moving forward, if we're going to be utilizing this, we're going to be leaning on it more in the future than we are now. Mm-hmm. And I suspect we'll be utilizing. Mm-hmm. We have the funds in the PEG file right now mm-hmm. to pay for either one, and then as we saw. Depending upon our franchise fees, whether they go up, down, or stay the same, we may cover them or we may be just a little bit light moving forward. But again, we're only talking about projection, a few hundred bucks a year light if we are light. So I'm making...
Is this a four-year commitment?
Correct.
So and, this is like $110,000.
No, this is that includes... If you looked under quantity in that bottom box, it's 4 years.
Okay.
So this is for 4 years.
All right. Gotcha.
4 years.
So third. So that's not bad.
And yeah.
One thing.
Less than it's in the green in here.
Wait, did you say we had to pay something monthly?
No, I was breaking down the cost of the sound cert.
Oh, okay.
We added that. It comes out to $200 a month. One thing he didn't.
That's how he upsells his clients.
One thing he didn't include on here that. Had on previous ones that I'll ask him to add back is this is for 15 meetings a year. We can do an a la carte and add more meetings to it if we wanted to. So when we first brought this up, it was just for council meetings. We didn't really see a need for additional, but we can add additional at a per meeting rate.
Do you remember what that was off the top of your
head? I want to say it was.
Don't commit if you don't know.
I'm not going to commit, but a neighborhood of $200, I'd say.
Okay.
Because if we're going to do court, then...
We only have to record court if it's requested.
And that could be court costs back charged to
I don't think we can. Yeah, I don't
court
think we
technology.
Can.
Technology. Yeah,
yeah.
Why not?
Well, we'd have to double check. But either way, it's a couple hundred bucks, and we could sit down there, and if you lose... Paid the $200 court cost and fee. So we have a recommendation, Mayor, to go for the one with sound search. Motion to approve. Second by Kelly.
I think this meeting showed the importance.
Absolutely. I wish we had this
now. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Any further discussion? Anybody in the audience want to talk about it? Yes, go ahead.
Are we anticipating getting this installed? And with all that's going on, you know.
Well, Kurt said 30 to 45 days once we tell him, give him the approval.
That's what he told me yesterday. So I didn't check back today. Things could have changed, but at this point, 30 to 45 days.
Okay. So before we take a vote, let me check with everybody.
Sure.
Is there anybody on the line that would like to speak on item number 9, live streaming city council meetings? Yeah, we still have 7. Mayor Jessup will move forward with the vote.
All right. And
sorry.
Boom.
That was
a
gavel.
You are unmuted.
All right. All in favor?
You are unmuted.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. Kurt, good job.
Good job, Kurt.
And I'll have him amend this.
And tomorrow.
Correct.
Have him send it. If he can, well, I'll send it to you, CC me or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
Okay. I think that does it.
Agenda.
We're now moving on over to the consent agenda. Motion by Rick. Second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Audience comments.
Do we have any comments from the audience? Please state your name and address.
This is Mike Bessner, 11842 Mohawk.
Go ahead, Mr. Besner.
Yes, well, I was wanting to know about the dog park. If there's anything that's done with the owner, or the last time I heard it was in the lawsuits or something like that, what's to become of that? Is there any plan from the county or from you to close the dog park during this period of coronavirus?
The answer to the question is, as far as closing it, no. The answer is my last discussion with Vroom, which was about 10 days ago, that they had an architect looking at it, and they had made, they were basically doing some drawings and layouts to get rid of the water features but right before they could do anything in the dog park, they're trying to make sure the drainage in the back of the park along the backside is taken care of so that when it does rain, we don't have big standing water back there, and they're working on that first. And last I heard, they were gonna start on that in the next couple weeks. I'll be sure and check on that and see if I can get you an update. They're still moving ahead with it.
Okay. Well, my dog wanted to know. I couldn't
hear it. His dog wanted to know.
Poor friend.
Is there anybody else who has a public comment? I don't see any.
All right. Hearing no further audience comments, move to item G.
Move to approve.
Do you have a motion to adjourn?
Adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Kurt, second by Kelly. All in favor?
Aye. Okay.
Motion. We are adjourned at 8:44.
Thank you. We will be ending the call.